Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of that guy that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, we'll be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world.
Today's quote is read by Star Trek actress Emily Kutz.
Star Trek was about ideas. It was about tolerance on a galaxy-wide scale. It was about affection for life forms, whatever they look like. Because they're different doesn't mean they're necessarily ugly or wrong.
And I would like to welcome back our guest host this week, one of the co-hosts of the Roddenberry Star Trek podcast, Mission Log, John Champion. Welcome back.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me again.
So what do you think about this quote? Star Trek was about ideas, right?
Yes. All right. So, well, first of all, I think Emily Kutz is so cool, and I love her on Discovery. And second of all, shout out to my dad's alma mater, Auburn University. Very cool to see that this quote from Gene was spoken there in 1976. Mm-hmm. What I love about this is that, Star Trek has this mission statement. It has this manifesto of what it is about. And we all know the opening phrasing, the five-year mission to seek out, explore strange new worlds, new life, new civilizations. But every now and then, Gene comes back with a quotation like this that puts an even finer point on it, mm-hmm. that says, "We go find others and we accept them for who they are. And we appreciate those differences. And just because they're different, it doesn't make them ugly or wrong." One thing comes to mind immediately, which is classic Star Trek, the original series episode, Devil in the Dark, which is, if any of you listening who have not seen it, please go see it. It's definitive Star Trek about a scary, ugly, murderous monster that is terrorizing this mining colony, but they figure out through a little empathy and investigation that this is a mama protecting her babies. It's not a monster to be feared. It is a creature to be understood and cared for. And that, to me, is just one of those shining moments of Star Trek that really says what it's all about.
Yeah, which is a hallmark of humanity, a mother protecting their children. Like, who can't identify with that?
Well, and also that even though we're in this enlightened Star Trek world, we're in exploring other galaxies, they're still kind of struggling with their own biases, right? And I brought this up before on the podcast, and there, Star Trek, the original, which I was raised up on, it was my babysitter. Nice. It's still hampered by the times. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that the kiss was so contra. I must try not kiss you. I mean, it was, of its times. But the fact that they added on there, I'm super appreciative of. I will say, as a little kid, I was like, that looks like, my dad was white, my mom is black. And I was like, they kiss easier than that. That's what that's what I remember thinking. But also,
good, first of all, good.
Well, yes. They got divorced quickly. So,
That was a sad story.
But if we jump to the end of this quote, I really like it because, as a woman of a certain age in America today's, and I am committed to aging naturally. I'm pretty lucky. I have pretty great skin for an old lady, but I also am interested to see where it all goes on its own. I've always thought my challenge in life was to work with what I was given. So that's just me. I can't put that on other people. But today's world, I think we're all kind of becoming, in America, there's a homogenous look going on. I'm hoping it's just a trend in terms of, the way women and men perceive themselves to having to look perfect, right? But I don't think like a whole world of truck stop Kardashians is beautiful to me. Yeah, I said it. And I wrote it in my next book because I feel like that's a little dangerous. I think it's just a trend, though, rather than the this is where we're heading in the future. What do you guys think? Because I worry, though, that this ideal of somebody's idea of perfection is going to be the one and only ideal of how we should look, how we should act. What do you kids think?
Interesting. Yeah, you know, go ahead, Trent.
When you think about like the hive mind of social media, things that are trending, that kind of thing, I think that's kind of where that homogenous thing is coming from. We're constantly seeing these images of perfection on social media, which we know are not true. We know that every single one of us puts
Trent,
our best foot forward.
We know it's not true, but the kids today don't know it's not true. Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to make that point because I'm grown up enough to get it. And I know when I was on a TV show and I came home and unclipped my fake hair and stripped off my lashes and I looked in the mirror, I felt inadequate. And I was a grown-up feeling inadequate. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine how kids today feel once they compare themselves to that Instagram image.
Like, it's impossible. It's impossible. But the need to feel like you're part of the group, to feel like you're not different, to not be the other, to not be the alien, kind of feeds into that need that some people, a lot of younger people, might feel to want to put this best face forward.
And we all did it. I mean, John, you're probably, I feel like John's younger than me, but like I look at the 80s and I'm wearing the most horrible acid wash jeans. In fact, in my senior picture,
I would never.
I literally look like a member of Duran Duran with my haircut in the picture. So I very much wanted to fit in as it's normal as a kid. I just hope as we become older that people start to maybe understand this quote from the 70s, right? It's not about what other people tell us, it's about your own ideas. And tolerance of yourself first, I think, leads to tolerance of other people.
I think every generation goes through that no matter what. Sure. And every person goes through that no matter what. As they age out of this deep need to be, you know, we talked about it in one of our previous discussions, this need to be part of the group. And that feeling comes and goes. It's equally valid to want to be an individual, to find yourself, to be able to stand on your own, as it is to sort of find your tribe, as you were saying before. Those are valid feelings, right? What is a problem is when those outside forces become a little too overbearing, a little too loud. I like to think that, social media is awful in so many ways. I like to think that part of the answer here is that the more the better, the more faces you see that are not the same, the more images that you see that challenge that homogeny is great.
But but how do you fight the algorithm? I agree with you, but I'm saying the algorithm is bigger than, my desire to find what I'm looking for.
Rachel, I want that on a t-shirt as well. Fight the algorithm. Fight the algorithm. That is the truest words I've heard spoken.
And what's key in this quote as well is Star Trek was about ideas, but it was also about the affection for life forms. So when you think about Star Trek characters, it's very easy to see antenna, differently shaped ears, modes of dress. Geordi had the visor. Kayla Detmer, Emily Kootz, who read this quote first today, had the ocular implant. These were representations of different kinds of life forms. And Star Trek is about the affection of those differences.
Yeah, I mean, at its core, if Star Trek is telling you, hey, look, you can feel compassion and empathy and love for an alien that is nothing like you, that shares no common physical appearance to you, then it should be even easier for you to realize that you can have compassion and care for human beings who aren't like you as well.
I would love to extend that to animals too, by the way. Like, I'm not saying I don't eat meat, right? And I'm not saying you guys shouldn't, but I think if we are going to eat meat, which is, you know, a sentient being, frankly, I'm going to say they're sentient animals. I would say do it in the kindest, most gentlest way possible, making sure that the way they are. What's her name? Who's the woman? They did a movie about her who arranged shoots and ways for the animals to be less traumatized. Temple Grandin, right, to design these things so it was less traumatizing on the animals or the way that they are put out. Personally, I don't think I could kill a cow, so I don't eat a cow. But, like, listen, if we were in an Alive style plane crash, I'd probably eat your thigh. So I don't know. You know?
Hey, look, you're welcome to it. I need one. Okay.
Look. And then if you think about, like, the affection between the life forms on Star Trek, the interspecies relationships that happened, Data himself even had relations with Lieutenant Yar, I believe.
You better believe he did, yeah, because he's fully functional.
Fully functional.
Rare.
No, that's great to see. I mean, Rachel, you made a great point about the famous interracial kiss between Kirk and Uhura, and which is controversial in its own right because it was under duress. It's under force. But later you see in Trek interspecies relationships that actually really work, and it's kind of a beautiful thing. And again, I think serves to tell the audience, like, look, there is so much to be found in the diversity around us. And as Star Trek very famously puts out there, infinite diversity and infinite combination is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. That end point where two disparate ideas, or more than two disparate ideas, come together, they form something that is greater than the sum of the parts. That is the spirit of Itik.
True, true. And actually, you know, when I was a kid, there were a lot of studies around saying everyone's going to look maybe Trents, you know, like a very light tan brown by 2040. And I always thought, that's great.
Yeah, can I get in on that? Because that would be awesome.
Yeah, I didn't see it as a negative thing. And when people, like, with, you remember the movie Falling Down from the 90s, you know, the reaction to all the changes and things. And I was like, why he's so angry? He needed tan. He could use a little melanin. but anyway, you know, I love the idea that Star Trek is about tolerance. And you brought up the kiss, but I don't judge it by today's standards. I think it's a bit of a danger that we're in right now in today's society to judge things from the past by what we woke know today, right? So I applaud Star Trek and Gene Roddenberry for that kiss, even if it was under duress, even if it was like, I don't understand why it was, what's happening. But they were showing people that that is a possibility, you know?
Sure.
I mean, I can't tell you how many people to this day, still when I tell them I have a white parent, they're like, I don't get it. You don't look. And I'm like, maybe you need to update what you think about, like, I am what I am. So when you tell me I don't look mixed or I don't this, that says more about you than me. That's what I think.
Anything that a TV show in the 60s could do to rankle those who are narrow of mind, I am all for it.
Absolutely.
So,
because
more of the above.
Let's not forget, we're talking about a time period where certain people couldn't even buy, by de facto racism, not, you know, legal, but de facto racism, couldn't even buy a house in a certain neighborhood. Yeah. So to have all these people working together as a crew, and understanding that it is an affection for what we find out there, and an openness rather than I want to kill it and stick it on my wall. Anyway, you guys, I just want to thank John Champion so much for being our guest this whole week. His erudite, scholarly knowledge of Star Trek, super handy. If you would like to catch him on his podcast, John, tell the people where they can find it.
Yeah, Mission Log. You can find us at missionlogpodcast.com. And guess what? We're talking about Star Trek. We're talking about morals, meanings, messages, and Gene's thoughts therein. So join us at Mission Log.
And we hope that you will join us tomorrow for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry, where we will be welcoming John's co-host from Mission Log, Norman Lau, who will be our guest host for the rest of the week.
If you guys want to catch the video for any of these clips that we're talking about, you can see it on the Roddenberry social media pages, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We are at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.